Our gospel today is taken from the first chapter of Mark. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. You know, the Catholic Church sign, I mean the Catholic school sign, there's a school sign, you know, on Carpenter for the Catholic school there. And it always says different things, you know, and we live right by there, so pass it by. So I was passing it by just the other day, and it said, or let me preface this, let me back up. There's a phrase where, let's say you're being... you think you know it all, and you tell someone some key information, and they go, oh, okay, well, I never thought of that. And then the response is, "You're welcome." Have you ever heard that before? A kind of a smarty pants response, "Oh, you're welcome." Like, you know, they expect a thank you. "You're welcome." So as I pass the Catholic Church sign, it says, on the top, it says, "Jesus is born." And then on the bottom it says, "You're welcome." Now I found that very amusing, because that wasn't the intention at all. Because what it says really on the bottom, it says, "You are welcome. You're all welcome." But the way I read it was, "Jesus Christ is born. You're welcome." I thought it was amusing, and because again, it depends on how you read something or how you see something. And in the same way, in the text study, where we meet with the other pastors every Wednesday, we meet here at the church at 9 o'clock and go over the upcoming text. So we're reading the gospel lesson, and it's someone read the part where it says about John the Baptist. Baptizing for with a repentance, that part. It's just right in the beginning there. The word repentance. Read this, the sentence right before repentance. Yeah. Someone read it out loud.
"John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin."
Okay. So as I heard that, John the Baptist, I heard remembrance. That's the word I heard when we were reading it in the text study. So all I was thinking about was remembrance, and then I remembered when I looked back at the text. Oh, it doesn't say. It says repentance and not remembrance. But I like that word remember, because I don't think with this sacrament, you know, we remember when we gather here together every time the meal that Jesus told us to remember. But I don't think we remember enough stuff about baptism, especially if you've been baptized. Again, if you haven't been baptized, there's an opportunity. But and if this isn't the time, that's fine. But we don't remember the significance enough of this. And so there's kind of three things that I think baptism reminds us of, what I think we should remember. And these are the three things. That we are beloved children of God, and we did some of this in the ceremony before, but we're going to just review some stuff because you can't remember this stuff enough, I think. That we are beloved children of God, that we are filled with God's Spirit of grace, and that we are made in God's image for good. That means made for goodness. So first, the beloved child of God. We are beloved children of God. One of the pastors says, you know, when's the last time you used the word beloved? You know, we don't use that word, maybe, and it's not, maybe that's not a current word, but you are my beloved. You know, I always call Beth my bride. You know, I just, that's what's in my phone. If I call my bride, that's, I'm calling Beth. And she is one of my beloveds. You know, of course, my two children are also my beloved children. I like that word. And so I'm going to make it a goal to use that word more. But the beloved child of God, that's what comes up as the words that come forth from the heavens, which have been ripped open. A new thing is happening. I mean, that's the word, is ripped. It's ripped open, like when you bend over, or I may have ripped some pants before because they were a little snug. And I may have even done it at church before and had to go back and change some. Unfortunately, I'm a clergy couple person at that time, and my clergy couple partner wasn't, you know, at home with a concussion, so she could cover for me. But I've ripped my pants. So rip is a new thing, and it's a dramatic thing, and you better deal with it. And that's what happens in baptism. It's a new thing, it's a dramatic thing, and you better deal with it. And what you get to deal with is that God tells you you're beloved. So I'm here to tell you that today. You are a beloved child of God. If you came up on my side or Gail's side, you heard that. So we've just reviewed that you are a beloved child of God. And if you still don't believe it, then talk with me or Beth. Maybe not right after the service, but set it up. If you don't know that you're a beloved child of God, you've never experienced that, let me try and convince you that you are. Or to remind you that you are. We'll find that place. So we are beloved children of God. As I was thinking about that, there was a story that came up in reference to how are we going to talk about baptism today. And so this one pastor, who was a part of a clergy couple, as a matter of fact, they went, they did this sermon to talk about baptism when they lived in Georgia. It was kind of a team approach. And in Georgia, you know, when you think of Georgia, you don't necessarily think of Lutheran, you know. So they did it as a way to say, here's what baptism means. You know, this is simple water and God's work at hand. God is working through the water to remind us of many things, including we're beloved children of God. So they did this service in Minnesota when they went to their next church. And this is what she says. This is the story. The Sunday we redid the sermon in Minneapolis, one of the members approached me after worship. She was 90 at the time. I will call her Hazel. Caroline, she said, is that really true? What? I answered, Hazel responded, that God baptizes you. Yes, it's true. This is what we believe. Why? Hazel then told her about her sister who was born several years before she was. Her sister was born very ill in the home and never left the house because she was so sick. We are talking at least 95 years ago. The family knew she was not going to live long. She lived about 2 months, as it turned out, and was baptized by her grandmother somewhere in that two-month period. When Hazel's parents went to the pastor of the Lutheran church, where they had been lifelong members, to plan the funeral, the pastor refused to hold the funeral in the sanctuary because he had not baptized the baby. The funeral was held in the basement of the church. Hazel then said to me, does this mean my sister is okay? Is she really okay? Yes, I said, your sister is okay. So I hear that story, and what her point is, it's, you know, 90 years later, this woman has to hear that her sister's okay. I'm just telling you today that you're okay. And you all are beloved children of God. That's what baptism helps us to remember. That's what this baptismal water helps us remember, that we're beloved children of God. Oh, and that's why I have three things here, because that was going to be point number one. Another way to do it is, and this is part of the be a better Eric, and you can be a better Eric as well, is drink at least 3 glasses of water a day to remember your baptism. And first thing, you are beloved child of God. Good thing I have a big bladder. All right. You are filled with God's Spirit of grace. In the text, The dove comes down and lands on Jesus. That's the Spirit. When you have doves and you have a river and you have the ripping of heavens, all kinds of mysterious things are happening, obviously, in that text. And many, many meanings have been attributed to it. You can put your meanings in today that you want. But I think the bottom line in this text and in every text, this is how I read everything, is that it involves God's grace, which is God's love for us, which is mysterious and has nothing to do with what we do or don't do. But God brings it to us anyway and pours it upon us. And so, for me, when I think of Holy Spirit, I think of God's grace. I think of the mysteries of how things work in this world, and especially when you know God is involved. That's the Spirit, and that's God's grace. When you really know it. And again, maybe you haven't experienced that for a while. Beth and I would be happy to help you think through what that experience of grace could be like. So, as I was thinking about that, my friend Mike Coffey, who we went to seminary with, he turns out he wrote this poem called Melt for this Sunday. It's called Melt, and it has this picture. You can go online and look up Mike Coffey. Coffey, and he's a pastor at First English Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas, which is a very cool city to visit. And so there's this picture of this woman who's sitting in a baptismal font, but it looks like it's almost like a bath, you know, and that's it. I was going to, just to remember my own baptism this morning at 6 o'clock, I was going to go jump in Hicks Lake, which is where we live by, but it was dark and it was raining and I just let the dogs out and I thought, you know, I think I need to share this event with others. So maybe we'll try this next year, but this was not the year because it was cold. And I thought, if I went down there by myself in my bathrobe and jumped into the lake and had a heart attack or something, nobody knew about it, well, that just would not be the right thing to do this time. So maybe we'll do that together. But he writes this story, or this poem called Melt. This is what his poem says. When all fine things melt away, platinum and books and Chagall oils and jazz and even memory becomes another drop in the liquid cosmos, there will be, as in the beginning, light, an emanating presence permeating darkness, absorbing all disparate thoughts and persons into one. And this one you may call Christ, the story of all that lives, dies, and is renewed. And when you are one with flowing truth, and love has enveloped you and accepted you into its infinite pool, where will your beliefs be then? What utterances of your small mind and self-satisfied tongue will survive? What contrivances of the God you once held firmly in your breast pocket next to your fountain pen will you cling to then? For which inflated mylar balloon of yourself will you still hold the string? None. You will gladly, freely, lovingly let each one flow like water through your fingers, and you will be satisfied to be part of what you once wished to have a mere distant controlling knowledge. So why, if this same fluid universe has baptized you already into your belovedness and puddled you up with everything and everyone, have you not yet let go and melted, you fine thing? If you like poetry, that's a good one. If you don't like poetry, well, you just heard some poetry in church, so that's how it is. But I like that image because, again, he talks about this melting into God's grace, and I think that's just a beautiful image. And water is a way, when you sit in water and sit in a bathtub, if you've ever taken a gloriously warm bath. Now, if you're over 6 feet, let me just say right now, the bathtub industry does not do us justice if you're over 6 feet. But for those of you who are under 6 feet, can really enjoy a bath and get all your body parts in there, actually. It's a glorious thing to melt in with that water. And that's what that mysterious sense of God's Spirit and God's grace is. It's a melting together of things, and you know God is with you, and you know you're a beloved child. So then there's the third thing. And the third thing, I've said we're beloved children of God, we're filled with God's Spirit of grace, and we are made in God's image for good. We are made for goodness. So I have this book, and I've had it in my, you know, on my desk. I have some books I put out that when people come in, they can see the title. So this is one of them, Made for Goodness, and Why This Makes All the Difference, by Desmond Tutu and his daughter, M.P.H.O. Tutu. I'm not sure how you say her first name. M.P.H.O. I'm not going to say it because I'm not sure, so I don't want to get it wrong. But Desmond Tutu and his daughter. And so, Made for Goodness. I just like the title of this book because it's easy to lose goodness every day. It's easy. You know, coming over to church this morning, I'm listening on NPR, and they have a big march to unify together that we are not going to let terror bother us in this city because terrorists did some things in this city, and we're not going to have it. So we're going to gather together and say no. Goodness gets lost so quickly, and it seems like especially these days, just when you think I got some goodness, something else happens, and just when you think but we are made for goodness because we are in God's image. And from the very beginning, and that's what the start of that first text, in the beginning, God separated out everything and made things orderly and good. And in the end, in the ultimate creative act, we are made and we are very good. We are made for goodness. Oh, I forgot to drink that. Oh, dang it, now I'm too back. We are made for goodness. I just think this water, to remember that we're baptized, we're beloved children of God, and we're filled with grace, we can't remember that enough. We are made for goodness. We are made for goodness. Three glasses of water doesn't seem like a lot unless you're on the spot to drink it. Three little glasses. So Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan. I haven't been there. I've seen some pictures. It looks like it's not a mighty river like the Mississippi. It's a tiny river, and in fact, it might be dry right now, even seasonally, from what I understand. But the problem with goodness and with water is that water, like anything, can be good. It can it can be a bad thing because people can die in water. Water can form a tsunami. Or if you lived in Grace Harbor this past week, it can produce flooding and mud. And yet, we're still drawn to this water and to what God can do with this water through baptism, to use God's grace and to remind us that we're beloved children of God, that we are graced with the Holy Spirit, and that we're made for goodness. So again, let me drink this one last one here. Today is a day we remember those things. We remember who we are, that we're beloved children of God, we're made for goodness, we're graced with the Spirit. And like the kids did, we just bottom line, we can't remember that enough. And so sprinkle yourself. You know, we have a thing that says, remember your baptism when you wash your face. If you wash your face in the morning, remember your baptism. Drink three glasses of water today as you move forward in life each day. You know, in the morning time, remember, I'm a beloved child of God. And then when you have your second glass of water, remember, God's grace is with me in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for that mysterious presence that you bring me. And then that third one, I am good. I am okay. I'm made for goodness. And that's what God wants in the world, is goodness, because we're made for goodness, God's grace in the world. So that's why we have this. That's why we remember Jesus' baptism. We are beloved children of God, graced by God, and made for goodness. Amen. Amen.